What a joy it is to greet you today in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so happy that you are a part of the Harvest Time service today. You have joined a worldwide congregation, people from nearly every portion of the Northern Hemisphere are gathering together with people of the islands of the sea to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask Him to use every word that is spoken today, every song that is sung, and every person who is praying for His glory and for the honor of the name of the Lord. I would like to extend to you a very special invitation to the United Pentecostal Church near you. Recently, we received wonderful word of a man who attended the United Pentecostal Church after hearing Harvest Time for a number of months. And upon his first visit to the United Pentecostal Church, he was gloriously filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptized into the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How great it is to know Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to be a part of the winning team and to know that as you hear Harvest Time today, in a few moments you will hear a Spirit-anointed Holy Ghost message from our Harvest Time radio minister. This is going to be a wonderful day in your life. We are so grateful that you have tuned to Harvest Time. We give special tribute to members of Harvest Gold International and the Harvest Time Home Church. The golden thread of radio evangelism that reaches around the world and is held tightly in the hands of people who care about this great ministry of Harvest Time. Thank you for caring. Thank you for praying. Thank you for sharing. Sister Jean Urshan with her daughters Sharon and Annette sing a wonderful song of inspiration entitled More Than Ever Before.
It's great as ever.
would like to invite you to become a more intimate part of the Harvest Time Ministry. We would like to send you our Harvest Time tape catalog. You would find this very fascinating because from back in the 1950s, we have tapes that have been preached at world conferences of the United Pentecostal Church International. We have great tape ministry and messages and teaching by outstanding men of God, men who some of them have already gone on to be with the Lord, but their preaching still continues because of audio tapes. This tape catalog that covers audio as well as VHS tapes is yours absolutely free. Our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would love to hear from you this week and rush you your free copy of the Harvest Time tape catalog. When you're writing, why don't you ask for the updated version of the Harvest Time listening guide that will tell you every place where Harvest Time is heard, and you can be a blessing and help someone else hear this blessed truth. And now the Harvest Time Choir sings a bright and happy song entitled, Some Beautiful Day. And now with his message from God's Word, your Harvest Time Radio minister, Nathaniel A. Urshan. Brother Urshan.
We've got problems, they tell us today. The church is confronted by a variety of serious obstacles. Who makes this assertion? Well, the leaders of the ecumenical movement, a variety of seminary professors, ecclesiastical experts, and others. One alleged problem is that of communication. The church, they say, neither speaks the language nor employs the concepts of the modern mind. The church, and for that matter, the Bible, so they say, are outdated. We must cease to use the traditional language and thought forms of the Christian faith, and we must develop a new vocabulary and new categories of thought if we are to reach the modern mind. But if you will listen a moment, in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 9th and 10th verse, we notice the statement of Paul, but as it is written, the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The spiritual application of the great truth of God is found in a spiritual understanding of the truths that are found out of this great book. Paul, as he comes preaching to the Corinthian church, brings to us several things that are important that apply to our day. Basically, one of the questions that are important to us is, what shall we preach in the 20th century? Shall the church accommodate itself to such questions as may be raised by the scientists, the economist, and the politician? Or shall we continue to preach the gospel as from time immemorial, the sin of man, his need of a Savior, and a life of gratitude? I am so glad we are not left without an answer in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul was confronted with essentially the same problem 2,000 years ago. In the ancient world, Corinth was regarded as a sophisticated metropolis. Corinth was as far removed from Galilee, for example, by education and culture, as it was in terms of geography. Then the question should be, how would Paul preach to these people? The situation was undoubtedly complicated by Paul's native ability plus his advanced education. No man in the first century church was more capable than Paul of taking whatever approach might appear advisable without question. Paul was a great mind in the apostolic church. In addition, he was one of the most educated men of his day. He was thoroughly familiar with the Greek mentality, with their thought and thought forms. Paul could have approached the people of Corinth on their own terms. But what did this man of God do? His decision constitutes one of the more familiar texts of the Scripture, and this is the text. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I determined, notice, this was a conscious decision on the part of Paul. He had weighed the possibilities. He might have displayed his mastery of logic and philosophy. He was not unaware of the oratory of Demosthenes. What then should he do? Should he seek to overpower them with his oratory? No, not Paul. This great man of God declared that he would preach Christ crucified and nothing other than the Christ. This is Paul's argument. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. As we consider this, we would not want to be misunderstood concerning this scripture. It can be used in connection with the life of the world to come. It is true that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for us in the life of the world to come. Nonetheless, this is not the point Paul is making at this time. His reference is to the present, to the here and the now. Paul declares that God has revealed to his children here and now what the eye cannot see, what the ear cannot hear, and what the mind of man cannot conceive. Notice how this contradicts the scientific approach to learning. The scientific approach begins with observation with the use of the eye, with his eye and their instruments that he has devised. The scientist observes the world around him. We observe that which is far removed with the telescope, or that which is near at hand with a microscope. In either case, he begins with observation. He also listens. He may employ a stethoscope in listening to the heartbeat of a patient. He looks, he listens, he measures. This is his method of accumulating facts. Is this wrong? No, we cannot say that it is wrong. It is the best method that man has yet devised to investigate the natural world around him. Where does the conflict come? It comes where the scientist attempts to rule out what he cannot see with his eye, nor hear with his ear, nor understand with his mind. This is what Paul is pointing out. The spiritual realm cannot be investigated in this way. Spiritual things cannot be seen by the eye of the natural man. Spiritual things cannot be heard by the ear of unregenerate man. Spiritual things cannot be understood by the heart of man unless God has first given him a new heart. And in these statements, we find the real understanding of the great spiritual revelation that comes to us in connection with the matter of our understanding of the Word of God. Note Paul's argument. The scientific method is based upon observation and reason. Paul has already declared that the eye cannot see spiritual things, but this is not all. Paul wrote further, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14, as we recognize Paul's explanation, we are face to face with the need of understanding the great purposes of God. How does man attain to a knowledge of spiritual things? This is Paul's answer. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Man does not arrive at spiritual knowledge through his own efforts and attainments. Spiritual truth must be revealed to him by the Spirit of God. Listen as Paul described the knowledge of which he speaks. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8. Paul explains further, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then this question comes, how shall we approach man? This is Paul's answer. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'd like to say that when the Spirit of God speaks to a man's heart, he will understand the meaning of the word sin. He will know what it means to be a sinner. For the Spirit of the Lord will work the conviction in his heart. When the Spirit of our God speaks to his heart, he will know the meaning of a Savior and of salvation, and he will humble himself at the foot of the cross. The questions that are being raised in our hour are also clouding some of the great truths that have been ours for many centuries, especially the truth that God does meet with man in a very significant way. Though we cannot understand all of God's dealings with man, the natural eye, the natural mind, and the natural process, thank God, there is the revelation of the Spirit that gives us a deep insight into the plan of God. When Jesus' disciples asked him the question, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," he said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." This is that spiritual revelation Paul is talking about, that the eye could not see, but that somehow, by that wonderful revelation of God's presence, human hearts were able to comprehend, for they found in Christ the fullness of God. As they found in him the fullness of God, they found the answer to life's dilemma. As you raise your heart above the matter of feeling, seeing, and sensing, thrusting your faith into the deep mysteries of God, he will hear and answer your prayer. This is the way to believe in God in an hour of skepticism and unbelief. And furthermore, friend, if you would say to a dope-addicted individual, "Now reason yourself out of your trouble," what do you think would happen? Or if you say to an alcoholic that is bound by the deadly synthetic power of alcoholism, "Now think yourself out of your dilemma," what do you think would happen? The mind that's numbed and the body that has been debased by drugs and alcoholism finds no ability to reason or to compare what they need, because they are subjected and fettered by a bondage they cannot handle. But when the Lord comes in with his power of the Holy Ghost, there's transformation, there's change. No, friend, you can't see the moving of the Spirit by the eye, nor can you actually hear when and how it will come, but suddenly, by the thrust of the Spirit of God, a man is beautifully endued, endowed with the divine nature, and his life takes another direction. Goodbye slavery to dope. Goodbye a humbling debasing of alcohol. Goodbye powers of Satan. I've been made free by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And as I preach to you over this broadcast today, I beg of you in the name of the Lord, don't look at all the reasoning of man, but trust yourself in humble repentance at his feet. Call on his name. Paul was Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul. And this man was a man of reason. But somehow he learned, "I am determined to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He found that the cross of Jesus Christ, where man's reasoning ends on the hill called Golgotha, which is called the place of the skull, the end of all human reasoning, he found that at the foot of the cross, he could get his sins delivered and be a new man. And the same God lives that helped Paul, and he will help you the same way today.
Harvest time.
Harvest time.
Of Harvest Time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.